Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us. Tree diaper, a device, Holly, that will water your plants, whether you remember to or not.
Yeah, tree diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water on the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries. The tree diaper is filled with water from when it rains or when you water, and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. No overwatering or underwatering with the tree diaper. Every time it rains, tree diaper recharges. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Water your plants and trees, whether they are down by the house, down the road, in the back 40. Also works under mulch. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, tree diaper will improve the way you water your plants. Made in the USA, you can find all the sizes they have available at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com.
Treediaper.com. That allows you to water those plants. And it works not only just on the ground, but you can do it in containers, your house plants, patio, porch, deck. They've got multiple sizes available. Treediaper.com. Well, there is number of practices, Holly, in the garden that people choose to do and not do for a variety of different reasons. Some is traditional, others is scientifically based, and then some simply just choose to do it even if there is no basis behind it for whatever reason that might be. We're going to go over a handful of things that we do not do in our garden and the reasons why.
Yeah, so the first one is till, which by till we mean rototill, where you bust out your rototiller. you let those tillin' tines do the tillin'.
Okay, this is what we don't do, and we're going to tell you why, so we're not going to...
Yeah, please don't throw tomatoes at Joey.
We're not pointing fingers. This is just... We don't till because, one, there's the expense of renting or purchasing a tiller. Two, the maintenance on such a unit. And three, the damage to the soil web that that machine can do. Now, true enough, if you go in there with a shovel or a spade and you work the soil, you do have soil disturbance, but not to the pulverizing potential that a tiller does with turning that hard clay-packed soil. If you have good soil, it wouldn't be clay-packed because you're adding nutrients, you're adding, you know, organic material, you're adding compost into your garden, but you're turning whatever soil you have into a powder, disturbing all of the pathways that worms and other microscopic insects have created, as well as killing those microscopic and worms and all of those things. So we don't till for that reason. Secondly, when you till, and it looks all pretty, because you've turned everything under and pulverized it and turned it to a powder and you know, killed all the weeds, what you think. 2 weeks later, many people wonder, well, why does the garden look more weedy now than it did ever before? Many weeds propagate from root cuttings, whether by natural or human. When that tiller tine goes in there and cuts those roots up, it cuts those roots up into dozens of pieces. And these plants are survivalists. They will regrow from the tiniest root follicle. So by removing the roots using a garden fork or a shovel, you're getting most of, if not all, the roots of that particular plant. But when you take the tiller in there and chop it all up, now you have just broadcasted that one plant that would have took 10 seconds to remove, and you've splattered it all across that pathway of where that tiller has gone and those plants are at. So instead of 5 weeds, you have now 50 or 60 that will begin to grow in several days to a couple of weeks. So we don't till for that reason as well, for the propagation of weeds, in which we don't want to. As well, it can stir up a lot of dormant seeds. Some seeds can stay dormant in the soil for up to 80 years. So by disturbing the soil minimally, you're going to reduce the amount of potential seeds that you're kicking up to a growth depth in which it will start to grow. So that's why we don't till.
Well, that's a really good explanation. So our second one is we don't grow corn.
We have, and we don't do it anymore. We simply did it for video ways to, educational purposes on our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. You can go there. You can put in the search engine, growing homemade corn, or growing backyard corn, growing corn, sweet corn. And we take you from the very beginning all the way through harvest in one video. Corn takes a tremendous amount of nutrients to grow. And at the peak of summer or this time of year, you can get corn from anywhere from 25 to 50 cents an ear at most grocery stores, and even cheaper in bulk at a farmer's market. Now, I don't know about you, but I cannot grow a ear of corn for 12 to 50 cents a piece. That is just not feasible for all the time, effort, water, fertilizer, soil working, planting, all of that stuff. Can't do it. Much easier to just go purchase it and support a local farmer or farmer's market or an independent grocery store rather than putting the effort in and trying to grow 8, 12, 25, 30 ears of corn when you could just grow tomatoes in that area and get 20 or 30 or 50 pounds of tomatoes in the same square footage as that corn would take to grow. We do not grow broccoli or cauliflower, Holly. Why is that?
Because we grew sad broccoli and cauliflower, if anything.
We just grew the plant. Yeah, we didn't even get anything out of it.
No, there was like one time we had a teeny bit of broccoli.
One time.
And maybe, I think maybe some cauliflower.
No cauliflower, a little bit of broccoli.
A little bit of broccoli. So, I don't know, for whatever reason, we cannot grow broccoli or cauliflower. We fail. So we decided that we're just not going to try.
Stop trying. There are people that can grow that stuff. There are people that can, in your neighborhood, you can grow things that your neighbors can't for whatever reason. And there's things that your neighbors can grow that you can't for whatever reason. So once you've failed a couple of times or three or four or five, there's a certain point where you have to decide, should I keep trying knowing that it's probably going to end up the same way? We tried to grow rutabagas for many years in the spring. Out of six tries, we had one good harvest, so we stopped growing them in the spring and strictly grow them in the fall. Plant them here in zone 5A on August 1st, the turnips and the rutabagas, and harvest them early November, and they worked out just fine. So we don't grow broccoli cauliflower because it's not worth the continued effort of trying to make it grow when it just simply will not, no matter which way, up, down, sideways, that we try to make it grow.
That's our decision, and we can, we can purchase it at a farmer's market or, wherever.
And you may be trying to grow something that you really don't like. So think about that as well. I mean, we like broccoli and cauliflower, but there's people that we've talked to at Garden Talks who are like, I'm trying to grow this. Well, do you like this? Well, not really. So why are you trying to grow it?
I mean, you made me grow celery, and I don't like celery. So.
Well, celery is good for a lot of reasons.
No, it's not.
If you want to write into Holly, care of the Garden Talk Radio at gmail.com, and let her know how wonderful celery is for you.
We don't really think it's that good for you. I think that's a myth.
Well, we do not use pesticides or herbicides, Holly.
No, we do not. And maybe
they have their place.
Maybe there's times that we probably, maybe, possibly should have used them, or you would think that would be the easier way, and it probably is. But we choose to live in harmony with our garden and our ecosystem, hold hands with our fellow tomato plants and pepper plants, and we just choose not to, and that's our choice.
So that's that. Chemicals, the herbicides and the pesticides, many places that our show is being broadcast on terrestrial radio is large, big-time farm country where that is how it's got to be done in order for things to grow in the field. So,
and that's understandable.
Yeah, not knocking it, just saying why we don't choose to use it, because we ingest enough pesticides outside of the garden that we think we've got our balance. So the next one is, we try to not avoid problems that we are seeing develop in the garden.
So this happens. It's just like, say, maybe you bump your knee and you're like, oh, that hurt really bad. And then, you ignore the problem and it doesn't get any better. And then you eventually have to address that problem. But if you, and maybe it might have snowballed into something larger. And if you just addressed it right away, then you would have, it was an obvious problem. You would have had less aftermath.
Now you got to pull out all eight zucchini plants.
Now you have to get a new knee. I don't know. That's probably a bad metaphor. But, yeah, so if you ignore one problem and it's an obvious problem and you're like, well, it might get better tomorrow or next week, and it is pulling out the zucchini plants because you had the, what's it called?
Squash beetle or anything that powdery mildew.
Potato beetle.
Yeah, potato beetle, yeah.
Tomato hornworm.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. So when you ignore that problem initially, it becomes a lot of times a larger problem. If it is something that you're like, I'm literally going to watch it for 3 days, that's different. But you do want to address it sooner than later, especially when it's obvious.
Well, what is obvious to many of us when we walk into our gardens, Holly, is that the Japanese beetles have basically rented our gardens without paying us and are destroying the property, and we can't get we can't charge them for it.
No.
Well, we can charge them for it because we're about to use Phylum Bioproducts beetle gone on them, and
right. If you're looking to successfully control beetles without damaging the environment, look no further than Beetle Gone from Phylum Bioproducts. Derived from a naturally occurring soil bacteria, Beetle Gone is the only organic solution that successfully controls those beetle invaders. Just mix the powder with water, spray it on your plants. Once ingested, the targeted pest will stop feeding and die. And since it's an organic BT product, you know it's a great choice to use on your fruits and veggies in addition to your ornamental flowers and trees.
Not only does Beetle Gone work, but the best part about the Beetle Gone, beetlegone.com, is that you can use it around beneficial insects like butterflies, bees, and ladybugs with no toxicity to water. Beetle Gone from phylumbioproducts.com. You go to beetlegone.com and you can purchase that product. Use coupon code GARDENTALK10. Save 10% on your order at beetlegone.com, and you can not only get your money back from the beetles not paying for rent on your garden, but you can salvage much of your vegetation, whether it's roses or beans or anything in between your trees. This will take care of them. Beetlegone.com, Garden Talk Radio 10, Garden Talk 10 to save 10% on your order. Garden Talk 10 to save 10% on your order at beetlegone.com.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.